Hi, this is Jay Washburn.
And I'm Joe Bendosky.
And you're listening to Start Writing.
This week we will be discussing theme in setting. So we'll go into that. But first, Jay has This Week in Critiques.
Okay, so this is... I was in Brandon Sanderson's class, which he teaches at Brigham Young University. This was several years ago, and he critiqued the beginning of my novel, X Dot, which is a first-person narrative by a 12-year-old boy. And Sanderson actually said some really kind things about my manuscript. One of his critiques, though, was he said, this is too wordy. You need to cut a lot of the extra words, which is, this is funny. This is something that Joe, I think, has taught me a ton about. But the funny thing was, when I first heard that, I had a negative reaction in that I wanted to argue and say, this is a 12-year-old boy. This is how he would talk, which I do think in a way is true. But when we're creating fiction, we're not trying to mimic reality specifically. We're trying to mimic the sense of reality. And anyway, he was right in his critique that I could cut it down, make it a little more adult-like in the way it was presented, but do it in a subtle way so that it actually just makes the experience for the reader flow a little more smoothly.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was a good critique.
Right. So marketing this week. So I've been going through Amazon ads and writing a lot of copy. And I think it was Mark Dawson who actually sent this out in his email this week. And he was talking about copywriting. One of the things that he mentions, he says, is that usually you're going to have an image. He says, and that image is telling a piece of the story. And you can try and write your copy to leverage what's in the image to tell a bigger piece of the story. And I was like, that's a really good idea. So some of the copy you can write can be like, how can you improve on the message that is in the image? How can you expand on it? And how can you have people see the image? What story are they getting from it? And how do you continue for there to save you some of the words? Because the copy tends to have to be fairly short.
So have you applied this in your own ads?
Not yet. I'm still kind of rolling it around, like looking at the image, being like, what story's in the image? What story is there? Hmm. So I haven't started writing this copy yet, but I thought it was a really good idea. As we're talking about theme and setting, one of the reasons we do want to look at this is we've talked about priming, right? You prepare people to think a certain way. And I've talked about this before. I'll bring it up again here because it's relevant to this episode. And this is the word game that I had my psychology teacher, right? And so he had two words at the top of the wall, at the top of the board. I think war and family. And then below that, he would just have the first letter and then, you know, how many letters out it would be. And he would tell people ignore what's at the top of the board. And he would always cover one of the two words, right? The war or family was covered. And so if you saw the word family, you'd see the word the letter L, and people would say love. And if they saw war, they would say lust. And if they saw H and they saw family, they would say home. And if they saw H and they saw war, they would say hate, right? Mm-hmm. Even though they were told to ignore it, it had primed their brain to think a certain way. And so that is what putting your theme into your setting does. It's part of priming that audience to think about the characters and the story a certain way. And then by doing it multiple times, which we'll talk about, you do that every time they go back into the story, you restate the theme and you point them in that way. And so where I got this idea for this episode is I was watching The Last Tycoon, and they're working on a movie. And one of the notes that the producer has, he says, the title and that kind of the theme is An Enemy Among Us. That's the title, and it's very much the theme. And so he sits down with the writers, and he says, I want that in every scene. He says, so maybe, we have an important conversation happening in or outside a grocery store. He says, maybe through the window you see a boy steal money from the till, right? And so there's that theme of an enemy among us in that scene. Now,
we should title this episode Inception. With setting.
Inception.
Using the art of inception.
In setting. But yeah, and so, and then I'd even read about a screenwriter who, once he figured out what the theme of his movie was, he would write it and put it behind the typewriter, and he said, I would try to find a way to work that into every scene. So we will go through and we will talk about The Shawshank Redemption, and we will look at this. and you'll be able to see it. And sometimes it's far more prominent than others. But it's kind of the, if you know what you're looking for, you can kind of see it in almost every scene. Now, there is a difference between a novel and a movie because you've got all those background events happening. So that's why we're talking about setting as opposed to writing subplots for this.
Okay.
And you may not even want to throw it into every setting, just a couple things. So we talked way back at the beginning about putting interesting background events in settings to enliven them. Mm. And this is a good place where you can slip in these theme elements.
So you were talking about your story's overall theme.
Yeah.
And when you said that, I was thinking about how I think that each of my viewpoint characters have their own kind of theme.
Mm.
And anyway, but then you said maybe you could switch scene by scene. So not necessarily. So you don't necessarily have the one theme over your typewriter for your entire novel, but you could shift from character to character.
I think that would be really interesting, right? To be like, this is this character's theme, and then you could have that background event in their POV chapters. I think that would be really interesting.
And actually, now that you say that,
that's like the deep kind of stuff they talk about in your English class. Like, look at what this writer's done.
So another thing that I was just thinking, I sometimes have different character chapters in the same setting. So you could have one character see the setting one way, and then another character see that exact same setting, but in a different way, because right. they kind of have different themes slash
yeah.
worldviews.
Yeah, interesting.
Anyway, just some ideas.
All right. So now we'll talk about the Shawshank Redemption. And so the core theme is hope. And so in every scene, you're not going to see hope, but rather what you see is the clash between the two. We either see hope or we see hopelessness as a way to clash it. And so that is a way, if you're going to start doing these background events, is to provide that variety. So, you know, whatever your theme is, we don't always see that theme in the setting. Sometimes we see its exact opposite at play. So in the beginning, we have Andy on trial for the murder of his wife. You know, he hopes that in the beginning, you know, as we're hearing the story of the murder, they talk about the relationship and the arguments with his wife. And so it, as they're telling that story, he hopes that his wife won't leave him. And then as we move into the later parts of the trial, he hopes that the court will believe him and not the prosecution. Right. Then we have Red's parole hearing. And of course, he hopes he'll be granted parole. And then it rolls right out of him, you know, trying to appeal to the parole board. He walks out and you can see that he never really hoped to get that at all. Like they instead of saying being up for parole, they say I'm up for rejection. Right. He's like, I'm up for rejection next week because, they, you know, they just that's that hopelessness. They don't really believe that there's any hope there. Andy arrives at the Shawshank, and like I said, some of these are weaker, but that's part of putting it into every scene. Sometimes it is just a weaker background thing, you know, and sometimes it's a little more prominent. So when Andy arrives at Shawshank, he hopes he can survive it. And then we go into the mistreatment of them, and we're in this really dark room as the warden's talking to them. And the warden gives his opening speech, and he says this, "Put your trust in Lord. Your ass belongs to me," right? And in that moment, it's that direct opposition. This put your trust in the Lord is this concept of hope throughout all of human history, this trust in God. And then he just tells him straight up, he says, but I make, you know, all the final decisions. And
I just can't help but see this through the lens of character specifically. And Andy is mostly embodying the virtue of hope. Whereas these people he is encountering
right.
are embodying hopelessness.
That's a good
and,
point.
And there's like this yeah. kind of conflict.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, the theme is brought out through that. Yeah.
Whenever the new inmates arrive at Shawshank, they take bets on who's going to break first. And so Red's taking bets, right? And he hopes to win the gamble. And he's pretty sure Andy's the one who's going to break. And so then that night when the inmates are provoking the new guys, trying to break them down, Haywood has a bet on his guy, and he wins. Like, his guy breaks down, he starts crying, and then Byron Adley comes in to silence him, and there's this shot of Haywood. He's just pleading silently to himself that the guy will be quiet so he isn't beaten, right? So, and that's his hope, that the guy will be quiet, that will he avoid that beating.
Oh, that's heavy.
So, and then we have this scene where Andy buys the rock hammer from Red, and he has this line. He says, "I was a rock hound in my old life, And I'd hope to be one again on a limited basis, right? He says it specifically, hope. So, and then we have the scene where Andy's carving his initials into the wall and a piece breaks off. Now, unless you've seen the whole movie, you can't even understand the hope in that moment. But there's a lot of hope in that moment. And the very next scene is really interesting in that the next scene is they're watching the movie with Rita Hayworth in it, where Andy goes and asks for the poster. And the scene is from in the audience of the theater. And so it's this dark, dark, dark room with this tiny little light flickering from the projector. Wow. And it is the classic, even cliche image of hope, that light at the end of this dark tunnel area, you know? And so even there, like, there's no conversation about it or anything, but it is still in the scene, this idea of hope. Right? Because that is the theme of the story. We won't go into everything because the writer tries to put that in almost every scene. And so you can look at nearly any scene in the movie and be like, there is hope there, or hopelessness, either one.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Now, as I said, it's not something that you're going to be able to do in a novel, because unlike a movie, you have to focus on one thing at a time. You have to. And so you're not going to have, you know, the leverage that the screenwriter does, you know, because if we talk about the movie theater scene, what they did was picked a setting, and then everything you're watching isn't even about that. It's just that background image. Whereas as a writer, you would have to take a whole paragraph to describe that, right? Which is, if you're building a setting anyway, now you can leverage building your setting and say, maybe I'll take an extra line or two and build in a piece of my theme.
And I just want to say that you can weave it, kind of like we talked about in the last episode with Chris's example. Each paragraph can just have a little fragment of the setting, and right, like slowly build this clear picture throughout the entire chapter. As like the scene slowly comes into clearer focus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this actually ended up being a lot shorter discussion than I thought it would be. So that is putting theme into your setting.
Cool.
Have anything else on it?
Nope.
Okay. All right. So be sure and join the giveaways. We have the nine. Actually, do we? What is our giveaway this month? I'm gonna have to put this in later, because I think this episode will not come out in August. We'll be on a different giveaway. Yeah. If you enjoy the show, check out one of our books. And let's see. Write in if you have any suggestions or comments about what you like, or topics you'd like covered, or maybe something you'd like us to go a little deeper into. We can go back, research, and dig up some more examples.
And you know what? You don't have to pick a topic for us per se. If you just have a really good question, something you're struggling with, send us your question and we'll dig into it and see how we can help.
Yeah. So you can email from the website, joseph-bendosky.com, or you can just send an email to jbendosky@gmail.com. And we will take care of that. So
thanks for listening.
Okay. So the giveaway this month is by Autumn Knight is her designer name. She's also the author, Alora Dillon, who we will interview later this month. If you have seen my cover, she designed that. And in the email, I believe I sent out, there's several images of other covers that she's done. They're also in the Twitter feed and whatnot. So you can see that. And so what she's giving away is a cover. If you already have a cover, your book's done and ready that way, you can have her just do a promotional image as well, just to kind of spread out and do some of your split testing in the platforms that you're advertising on. So go ahead and sign up for that, either on the website or through any of the other platforms that we've made it available to sign up for the contest. And thanks for listening.